Our reading this evening, as we still consider Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is from John chapter 7. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were yet to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. One pastor I know likes to say that he wished that the soul desired the Word of God as much as the stomach desired food. I hardly miss a meal because my stomach won't let me. I'm hungry, and so I eat. And it was almost as if the soul would be like that. It would say, "I can't wait to hear God's Word. I am so hungry for God's Word. I can't wait to go to church, receive the Lord's Supper." Now, I think in some ways the Christian soul does work this way. But not as much still as the fleshly belly does. He continues going on, and he says, "And I also would think it would be great if every time you heard false teaching, false things, that your soul would start to hurt, like your belly would hurt after you eat something bad, and you're like, 'Oh, I will never eat that again.' Like every time you hear something false, that is the worst teaching ever, and you're up all night, and you're like, 'I will never go to that, never hear that pastor again.'" Jesus kind of talks this way. He talks about it a lot, right? He does it in our reading. "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." And of course, what he's speaking about is the soul's desire to be quenched. Do you remember the story of a woman at the well? It was in John chapter 4. Jesus is there at the well. A woman comes, and Jesus asks her to give him something to drink. She says, "I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. I'm a woman. You're a man. What are you asking me?" It's the middle of the day. And then Jesus ends up offering her something to drink. Jesus says, "I know a little something about you. I think it's maybe you've had 5 husbands. Maybe I'm counting a little bit wrong. I'm forgetting the story. The man that you are with is not your husband." This woman had a thirst, right? She had a something that she wanted quenched, in the first husband, and the second husband, and the third husband, and the fourth husband, and the fifth husband, and the man that she's with is not her husband. She was seeking something that she could not quench. Jesus offers her springs of living water. She goes around the town. She believes in Jesus, and she says, "Come, let me show you a man who told me all that I ever did." And the big thing is he didn't condemn her for it. This wasn't a condemning thing. This was a life-giving, thirst-quenching sort of thing. In our reading, John chapter 7, on the last day of the feast, and there's lots of feasts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will especially emphasize the feast of the Passover. John doesn't. John's going to emphasize all the different Jewish feasts. So this is the Feast of Booths. The Jews would celebrate the Feast of Booths. They would live in booths for a period of time, I think each year, maybe once every 7 years, I forget the details, but it was to remind them that they were a people that once had no home. They were delivered through the Red Sea, and then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They were not a people who were not yet home. They were wanderers. The Feast of Booths, Feast of Tents, Feast of Tabernacles. So they would stay there. It'd be like camping, remind you of something like that. They were a people on the way home. So this is the feast that Jesus is at. And on the last day, the great day, Jesus stands up and says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Living water. This is the water that you have in you. It's the water that even as you die, yet shall you live. You have living water in you. And before it was in you, it was in Jesus. Jesus says, out of his heart will flow waters of living water, rivers of living water. What happened to him on the cross? He was pierced in the side, and out came blood and water, living water. It was also from the cross that he gave up his spirit. Jesus said this about the spirit. So it was true of Jesus, and now it's true of you as well. Though you die, yet shall you live, and you have life, true life in you. You live as a Christian. You know what it means to be a child of God. You know what it means to be forgiven of all of your sins. You know what it means to not have your hope put in this world. You know what it means to be in the world and enjoy the world and love the world, but not to be of the world, as if this world is your home. Because you have a better home that is waiting for you. And as you're waiting to get there, you also know what it means to be at home in God right now. That was our gospel reading this past week. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, the Father and I will come to him and make our home with them." You know, Christ has made his home with you. Kelly and I, we were married 11 years, and we lived in 7 different places. And so for the longest time, we would say home was where each other were. Where's home at, dear saints? Where Jesus is. Where's Jesus at? He's with you everywhere you go. He's with you at work. He's with you while you sleep. He's with you when you wake up. He's with your family. And he will be with you forever and ever until you're with him. You're home already. And you have living waters that flow out of you. Life-giving true waters. The spirit that was given to you and continues to be given to you. A beautiful little reading that we have, and a short little reading. I like kind of these chunks that sometimes the lectionary gives to us. John chapter 7. So anything strike you in the first, in these 3 short little passages that you had? So maybe I'll ask this question too. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts," where do people seek to be quenched? How do people seek to be quenched?
Communion.
What's that?
Communion.
For the Christian, it's communion. That's great. That's great. That's a good quenching, to be refreshed and renewed. I wasn't thinking of the Christian. I was thinking more of kind of the sinful flesh way too. But that's fantastic. I mean, it is that the soul does desire. And maybe sometimes you don't always desire the word. But then when you get the word, you're like, "Oh, that's exactly what I needed." You don't exactly desire church. But then you go to church and you're like, "Oh, I didn't even know that's what I needed." Maybe I'll ask it this way. Where do we sinfully look to be quenched? The picture of being in a boat, like a rowboat, surrounded by the ocean and being thirsty, right? You drink that stuff, you actually die sooner. Where do we seek to be quenched in the wrong ways? We think we'll be satisfied once we get that.
Sin.
Yeah, all sorts of sin, right?
All sorts of sin.
Right?
Once you indulge in it, it's wrong.
Say what?
I said, once you indulge in it, it doesn't take care of that thirst.
Right, yeah. Back to that image of that pastor who said, after you hear something wrong, and then you're like, I'll never do that again, except you're going to do it again, and you shouldn't do it again. You know better. You do have kind of this immediate regret that comes from that.
There's always the need for wanting more for anybody. I want this house. Oh, now I want a bigger house. I want this car. I want this newer car. I want this technology. I want this better technology. I want a new phone. I gotta have a phone. So there's always this need to have more. So we also seek to get the satisfaction of hearing others say, well done, good job.
Praise.
Where we should not be looking for others to tell us, well done, good job. We should be content with where we are in all things, and so we're not. So we as a people are always looking to quench our thirst, our ways, in so many different sinful ways. We have the thirst of those who are addicted to alcohol, those who are addicted to drugs, those who are addicted to gossiping. There's so many different ways, whereas Jesus is saying that we should be thirsty for him and content in what he is giving. And so when he gives those things, we have the living waters that we are. But we are people, because we sin, because we are human, thirst in so many different worldly things when we should not be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's well said. I mean, and God's word is the only thing that just kind of directs us back. Take, drink, This is the only thing that will satisfy you. Me, Jesus says. I am the only one.
Talking too, but,
yeah.
But it's not even a matter of, it's we want so much, and all we have to do is just sit, because all he said was to just believe.
Right.
And have the faith. But we feel so much like we need to go and do something ourselves. Right. So we just need to sit quietly and wait and have the faith and believe. So that's the other thing. I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was considering authority, because we're going to be considering all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus says. And Jesus, uses that phrase authority all the time, that the Gentiles have authority lorded over them too, and other people serve them. And Jesus says, but I am among you as one who serves you. I mean, what is that but faith? Faith receives what Jesus gives. And as you pointed out, whoever believes, that is the opposite of doing. That means somebody is doing something for you, promising something for you. Being the one who does the doing, he serves us. It's an amazing sort of thing. And then quenched, of course, we serve him and serve others. But that's not you get the direction wrong. If you think it's serve him, serve others. First, it's him serve you. Him.
Now, this right here, is it happening before Jesus was ascended?
Yeah.
At the end of it, it says he had not yet been glorified.
Right.
So this was before he had ascended.
Right. Right. Yep. So this is... And what's interesting, too, is that phrase glorified, John's going to make clear that his glory is shown in the cross, on the cross. I mean, it looks completely opposite of what we would think of what glory would look like. But Jesus is going to say, now is the hour come when the Son of Man will be glorified. As the grain must be buried into the ground to bear fruit, so must the Son of Man die, And so, when the hour comes when I must be glorified, I will be lifted up, and I'll draw all people to myself. So, and you see that there's a limit. The Spirit is not yet poured out until Christ is dead for us, sacrificed for us. There's a waiting turn, a waiting for that. Good question. Well, excellent. That phrase, come to me, right? Come to me, come to me, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are weary laden, I'll give you rest. He'll give you rest. He'll quench your thirst. He'll give you food that lasts forever. And then he'll use that so that out of your heart flow rivers of living water. Let's rise and let's pray.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, O Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Amen. Let's pray. O God, on this day, you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, if you said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. And we have come to you again this evening. We have come to hear your word. We come here also to receive your body and your blood. We come to you in prayer now and many, 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 many times. Quench our thirst. Help us to see that we have been made well by your blood, that we are forgiven, that we're redeemed, that we have a home in you, and that you have made a home in us. Grant us to find true satisfaction and quenching of thirst only in you, even as you give us wisdom to enjoy the things of this world and the wisdom of how to love each other. Hear us as we pray for our government, for the Holy Christian Church scattered throughout the world, for those Christians who are persecuted violently for their faith, for those that we work with, those in our families, those who are grieving, those who are ill, recovering, those who are lonely, addicted, for all those who are seeking to quench their thirst in anything and anyone besides you. Hear us now as we pray for those that we now name with hearts and voices.
April Cunningham, Jay Ralph.
Gabriel Panther.
Ted and Kenny Allison.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night, for into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.